Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is from St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, which has already been read. My dear friends in Christ, have you ever had a plan for something that other people just simply could not understand? Perhaps you've done some planning for that family summer vacation, but the route that you have selected, and indeed all the places that you want to stop, all of that simply doesn't make much sense at all to the rest of the family members. It doesn't make sense, that is, until they hear your explanation. And then perhaps it becomes crystal clear as to why you've laid it out the way you have. Well, you know, when people try to make sense out of the Old and the New Testaments, they often have a very difficult time seeing God's overall plan. What do all those rules and regulations and sacrifices and so forth that we see in the Old Testament, what does all that really have to do with what we find in the New Testament? St. Paul wants us to know that it's all part of God's wonderful plan. And part of that plan, says Paul, is that God's people were under a caretaker until Christ came. And of course, this caretaker, this tutor, as he puts it, was none other than God's holy law, a law that served a very needed function for God's people. You see, this was a very strict discipline. It was literally a hedge that was built around God's people to separate them from all the evil influences around them that would tend to separate them and draw them away from the Lord their God. And so, human nature being what it is, God gave them his holy law so that he might instruct them and direct them and preserve them. But you know, all these regulations that we're talking about here, they were not an end in and of themselves. Instead, they focused on and they pointed forward to the Savior who would one day come. As St. Paul says, the law has become our tutor, our child tender, to lead us to Christ. Not just something that would say no, no, no to us, but rather that which would have its preparatory work in bringing us to Christ. In fact, you know, apart from Christ Jesus, all those Old Testament regulations cease to have any meaning at all because they all find their substance in Christ himself. Unfortunately, this caretaker, this child tender, became a burden. It became a curse for God's people. Oh, in and of itself, it was perfect and holy and good. But you see, it was man's sin that corrupted it. And you know, one of two extremes always are followed by people, it would seem. On the one hand, people will simply ignore what God has said. They will do their own thing, do what is right in their own eyes. On the other extreme, people will sometimes turn God's holy law, what he has given, into something it was never intended to be, into a system whereby we can do works that can demonstrate to God our own righteousness. But indeed, God's holy law became a burden and a curse for people, for sinners who simply misunderstood it and who misused it. Now, I dare say every Christian man, woman, and child has felt the effects of God's holy law in their lives. Certainly it is just as much a curb or a hedge for us as it was for them. And yes, we've also seen and felt its effects as a mirror in our lives as it shows us our sin. Indeed, as reborn creatures in Christ and yet people who still have that old sinful nature adhering, we know that God's holy law now serves as a holy guide through our lives. But again, we must not lose sight of the fact that God's holy law isn't just a list of do's and don'ts. His law always has the purpose of preparing human hearts to lead them to Christ and for Christ to enter in. Just as that hard ground out there needs to be plowed for the receiving of the seed, so also our hearts are prepared by God's holy law for the planting of the seed of the gospel. And just as that plowing sooner or later comes to an end, so it is with the work of God's law upon our hearts. Its time is not forever. For then you see the gospel enters in. The gospel sets down roots. The gospel grows and bears fruit, and its time is forever. Now, of course, under the Old Covenant, as you know, God's people were obligated to remain under that custodial care of the law. But then all that was changed, because that Old Covenant was not to remain forever. As St. Paul tells us, we now live in the fulfillment of God's promises. Everything had pointed to Christ, and He has now come. With His advent, Christ has fulfilled and therefore abrogated God's holy law. As St. Paul tells us, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. No, now through faith in Christ Jesus, we are God's children. We are not alienated from Him. You and I are called sons of God. And if you and I are called sons by God, then we are no longer under condemnation. And just where did this wonderful new relationship to God become established? Why, in our baptism. You see, baptism gives to us what the law could never achieve in us. Indeed, in baptism, we actually become partakers of everything that Christ Jesus Himself has accomplished. He's the one who lived the life that I should live. He died the death that I deserve to die. But all of that is made mine in baptism. As a matter of fact, I am now absolutely covered, hidden in Christ. I know that I can now come before God properly attired to be accepted fully by Him. Why? Because I am clothed in the very robes of Jesus' own righteousness. For all of you, says Paul, who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now that's grace, is it not? To know that when God looks at you, He no longer sees the old you, no longer sees the faults and the failures and the falling short. But rather now He sees true righteousness, the righteousness of Christ that is credited to you as your very own. And wonder of wonders, this grace of God in Christ is not kept from people on the basis of worldly distinctions. Now you have to be careful here, because of course there are distinctions among people in this world. My goodness, in the business world, there's the distinction between labor and management. In the family, between children and parents, between husband and wife. God-given distinctions. And yes, in the church, we also find it. In the church, we find, do we not, that God Himself has ordained a distinction between men and women when it comes to the office of the public ministry. But when it comes to being justified in God's eyes, to being recipients of all the gifts of God's grace, there are no such distinctions among people. No, we are all one in Christ Jesus, and we now enjoy a profound fellowship of the faith. So there you have it, my dear friends. Your claim to being God's own child and to being an heir of His heavenly estate is firmly based upon your faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, God's law does its work on your heart, but its time is not forever. Then the gospel comes in. It makes you alive. It lifts you up. And its time is forever. and the fact of your baptism, which, thank God, depends on him and not on you, your baptism makes it a sure thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior who clothes sinners like us with his own righteousness, amen. May that peace of God that surpasses all of our human comprehension keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.